Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, it's good to have you at another program of His Stories Broadcast. And I have Gil, and we have a special guest this morning. And before we go to the special guest, we'd just love to be able to take a moment in time and pray to the Lord. Dear Father in heaven, just give you praise. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you're a great Father. I thank you for this guest, and Lord God, may you be glorified in these next few moments of time that we have. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Good morning, Gil.
Amen. Good morning, Kevin. Yes. How are you this morning?
You know, to be honest with you, I wish I could say everything is just kind of at peace, but there are times in life when you have all these different things that are just kind of jungled all around and jumbled, and we're moving, and so the nest is sort of, it's moving.
It's disturbed.
Yeah, it's disturbed, and usually I can handle a lot of change with not much problem, but so this morning, just a lot of things are just kind of, a lot of pieces are just kind of there, and I'm even trying to look for a place for us to, for our dog, to be able to, to find a place. And all that stuff. So while we're trying to move. So anyways, but God is good, and he puts all these different pieces of the puzzle together way before
yes,
I even know that they're. So yeah, I'm good. I'm in great shape. Yeah.
Good.
How about you, Gil?
I'm doing well. Yeah. Doing fine. Very busy week between conferences and meetings and preaching and traveling and everything else. But it's good in all the busyness. There's always that balance, of finding solace with God and the busyness of life. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, he did a good job of getting away and getting quiet before the Father. And that's what I'm learning, still learning how to do. So, it's all good.
Yeah.
But enough about us.
Yes.
We do have a special guest with us this morning. He's affectionately known as Amish Dennis. And I love it. I might just grow my beard just like his. But we'll see. I don't know. But I'd like to welcome to the show, to His Stories audience, Amish Dennis. Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller.
Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. Good morning, Gil. Good morning, Kevin.
All right. Yeah. Well, why don't we start by doing this? Tell us like where you're from, where you grew up, where you were born, and just a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I was raised in a very typical Amish home setting in close to Middlebury, Indiana, just south of town. Our family's perhaps claim to fame, if you will, within the Amish circles would have been. My grandpa started a sawmill called Indiana. It's now called Indiana Wood Products, which I believe that's what he called it as well. But I have very fond memories of going over and would help him. In his later years, he actually would build trinkets and crates and benches and take them to the Shipshe flea market.
Nice.
And so very family-oriented. And really enjoyed that time that I'd had with Grandpa in doing that. But, yeah, I grew up south of Middlebury on County Road 20 and just a very, very good way to grow up as a child, a very structured. Everything was sort of we obviously were children and we got in trouble, but I am very grateful for the childhood that I had and the upbringing that I did have.
Good. Sounds very similar to my upbringing in Brooklyn. very similar. Yeah.
Did I mention we had horse and carriage?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's where it ends.
That's where it ends.
Well, how did you, now growing up Amish, I'm sure church and your religion and your faith was extremely important. How did you, or when did you make Jesus your own, or your faith your own?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. And it's something that very different probably for different people. And just for the audience's sake, there's a lot of similarities between maybe some of the Catholic practices and the Amish. Yeah. It's a little bit Jesus plus type of religion. Mm-hmm. But so growing up in that setting, there is a period of time, and this has sort of been out in the secular media takes this, but it's called Rumspringa, and it's very real. Mm-hmm. And it really does happen where youth are given the freedom to sort of go out, quote unquote, into the world, if you will, mm-hmm. and experience, driving cars. The unfortunate part with a lot of that is other things are introduced at that period of time, mm-hmm. which is what happened to me. But in a roundabout way, it's sort of to see if they're going to come back within the fold of the Amish church. But mm-hmm. It also creates a little bit of a whatever is not Amish is of the world mentality, mm-hmm. and sort of mixes mm-hmm. that in an unhealthy way of
right.
looking of a lens of looking at what truly would be of the world and what is not, if that
okay.
makes sense.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It went through Rumspringa.
And that happens at what age? Is that 17?
16 years of age.
16.
Okay. Pretty much across the board, 16 years of age, that is what happens. Now, I do want to say that doesn't take place with every Amish youth. Some actually don't experience that level of Rumspringa. They experience some level of freedom, but not to – there's different levels.
Okay.
We were more in the wide open level, if you will, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Okay. How long does that last? Normally?
Well, it's really up to the individual.
Really?
Oh, for me,
really?
It was about 7 years.
It was 7 years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. For some, it's maybe 2, 3.
Oh.
Some never actually come back and join the Amish church.
Okay.
Wow.
But I had I'd actually moved out away from home, which is sort of a big step.
Sure.
Most of these children, teenagers, young adults, stay – live with their parents. Many of them do. Some do move out. I ended up moving out. This would have been – of course, I'm going to date myself here, but this was almost 20 years ago.
Sure.
So that was a little bit more uncommon at the time to move out. Well, that – my mom and I had a conversation. I basically promised her I would return within a year.
Okay.
And so that was something that was always on my heart to do. And so I ended up coming back and joining church at the age of 23.
Okay. And
that is where I really felt I surrendered to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to follow him.
Yeah.
But it was – I don't know how else to say it, except mm-hmm. it was a frustrating time because I knew that I wanted to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
I just didn't know exactly how.
Yeah.
And I wasn't being told – the fullness of Christ, if you will.
Yeah.
And so that was the start of my journey walking with the Lord. But I didn't have the victorious Christianity experience, if you will. I'm trying to measure my words here in a way that would make sense to the audience, but it was a time of wanting to conform to the church and thinking that might be part of the solution to finding Jesus and following him. But it was a frustrating experience.
Was the frustration that there's got to be more than this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually a good way to put it.
Okay.
Yeah. There's got to be more than what I'm experiencing here because
right.
I wasn't able to basically just live – in total freedom. There
mm-hmm.
was just things in my life that I wasn't able to overcome, for one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my solution via a lot of the preaching was just try harder.
Right.
And it was, you know, that kind of experience.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. You know, it's so funny. You kind of likened the Amish faith to kind of Catholic. But I think in every religious I want to say the word trapping, or there's always this, I think in every religious circle, there's this need to try harder.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I keep trying, it's not good enough, try harder.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you keep trying harder and harder and harder, and it doesn't get easy, it doesn't make it
Amen.
Easier.
Amen.
And so I think that's where, you know, that's of course where grace comes in.
Yes.
And kind of, if I had to put it in a place that's kind of flying on autopilot by mm-hmm. God's grace mm-hmm. and not trying to do it in your strength and your ability. But I think it's funny how you likened it to being maybe Catholic or some of the same characteristics. But I think I grew up in a very Pentecostal church.
Yes.
Okay. Heavily, a lot of rules.
Okay.
But I felt the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, I know God is real. I see peekings of it through some of the stuff that's going on. But there's got to be more than this. Like, there's got to be more,
yeah.
you know what I mean? So it
yeah.
sounds very similar to that.
Yeah. And so as my life unfolded, and then I got married soon afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so as my life unfolded in our walk, there came a point, Gil, where probably I would have to put it somewhere around 7 years ago or so. I came to the place where I was so I was ready to sort of give up. There was sort of a moment of just or a period of time where I was ready to give up. And it was at that, I think that was also sort of a shift in my life where I remember just praying and saying, Jesus, I don't know how, you know, I don't know how to do this, but I just know this. I'm just going to trust in you completely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was, I look at that moment as a moment where God was using my surrenderedness, my brokenness to bring me into a fuller understanding, you know, and at the time, even though we were, you know, still completely, you know, Amish and within the church rules and everything at the
right.
time.
Okay.
And,
was there a certain series of events that got you to that point? Mm-hmm. You mentioned brokenness, and so you, being broken, mm-hmm. I would imagine there's some series of things that may have taken place. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn. I don't know.
But, no, yeah. It wasn't. We had a real challenge very early in our marriage. We had a child that had special needs challenges, and so that shattered my idyllic Amish life, maybe
a little
bit, or it would anybody's. You know, not doesn't matter. It's not about Amish or not Amish at that point. It's about being, you know, the reality of taking care of a special needs child.
That's
and
right.
then 4 years later, we had another special needs child.
Sure.
And so, at that point, I was really searching for ways to find peace in the storm that we had, because there was lots of challenges within the family life at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it was, you know, it was understanding the path of, you know, the Bible says there's the way that seems right to man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the way I look at that is, you know, self-righteousness and trying harder and works-based religion.
Yeah.
And I had to sort of, I think God was leading me off that path, if you will.
Mm.
And it was at that moment that sort of stands out to me where I really just said, Jesus, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe didn't even understand at the time that I was praying this, but maybe I need Jesus and not religion.
Yeah.
And that's such a dangerous path. it doesn't matter if you're Amish or really.
Oh, amen.
It really. I had a great church experience growing up. However, you know, if you wear an ankle bracelet, you must be a harlot, right? You know, or something.
Oh, yeah.
Something of that
right.
nature. And mm-hmm. and
wait, you're not?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Bad joke.
Get the fire and brimstone.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it is those things that mm-hmm. you know, by the outward appearance, it's like, well, on one hand, yeah, there are. The Bible does talk about different, you know, being watchful of the things that you do. There's some things of warnings of what you wear. But it also too. But I'm not there to judge that individual as they come in and get to know who this Jesus is, that this great Father that we and you know, this great God that we have. And so I remember that growing up, and I was just. It's interesting the journey that you've been on so far.
Yeah, it was understanding the mercy of God. It was understanding that He desires mercy and not judgment, and also understanding that as we receive mercy, we freely give that away as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it
was an understanding that I think God was trying to show me as well, because there was, you know, there's things in life that I had a hard time letting go of, and you know, maybe. Just different things that happened at work that, you know, I had a hard time. And God was just showing me little by little. I really believe God will, he will do, I mean, I know He will do everything that He can that you give Him to work with. And I think even in my ignorance, not understanding maybe the word at the time, not even knowing what I was praying for necessarily, God will use that brokenness or willingness to surrender and will just start ordering your steps in a way that you'd never saw coming. Because at the time, I had no idea what was going to happen in the next 7 years or so as it unfolded.
Real quickly, how many children do you have?
We have three children.
Uh-huh.
I'm married to a beautiful wife, Loretta.
Yeah.
We have three children. Edie is 14, Josiah is 10, and then Rebecca is 8.
Nice.
Three children.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so now, before we go to our break, You are now, this is 7 years ago, you get to this place of frustration.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was frustrating from the very beginning, but I came to a place of sort of giving up and brokenness and, Jesus, you take the wheel completely.
Okay. And so what does that mean? Does that mean I give up, I put it down, I'm leaving the church? Or does it mean I'm sort of like Moses, I'm just going to retreat into the backside of the desert. I'm not going to be active. I'm not going to do much. What did that look like as far as?
Well, it certainly didn't mean leave the church. Okay. It certainly did not mean leave the older church at the time. That was not even at any thought I had at the time.
Okay.
I recognize there's things that I didn't agree with, but that never
actually,
crossing that line never occurred to me.
Okay.
What it was more than anything was recognizing that striving to – I had been at the time was getting fairly successful in real estate. Mm-hmm. And I was striving to maybe find my identity, if you will, mm-hmm. through being a small business owner and wanting to achieve greatness through that, or becoming a who's who in the community, if you will.
Sure.
We were actually, I think many people respected us within the community, especially mm-hmm. in light of having taken care of the two children that had special needs.
Right.
And God blessed us with a third one, second daughter, but third child, Rebecca, that was healthy then, so sure. God is gracious. But it was more of getting my identity lined up in Christ mm-hmm. through surrender,
and right?
Trying to achieve success, perhaps through material means.
Gotcha. Okay.
Real quick question: did you have others that you could go to? Because you it's good to have someone you can bounce this off with.
You mean within the community?
Within the community. Yeah.
The short answer would be no.
Okay.
I really didn't. Yeah. I was connected mm-hmm. to people that were not Amish.
Okay.
And those were the ones that I would connect to. In particular, my wife's brother would come over and we would get into scripture pretty deep.
Wow. Yeah.
He was never Amish. He never joined the Amish church. But mm-hmm. we would often have these visits where he would stop in. Yeah. And there were other happenings around that time that started to really shift us.
Mm-hmm.
But within the church, to go to really deep mm-hmm. Spiritual conversation, the answer would be no.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pick up with your story mm-hmm. about this frustration time that you were in. Mm-hmm. And we're going to pick it up because then things started to change.
A little bit.
All right. We're going to jump back with Dennis, Amish Dennis Miller's story right after this.
Come back.
Well, hi, everybody. Normally, we would go into a commercial break right now, but Kevin and I would like to just share our hearts with you if we could.
Absolutely.
Once again, I'm Gil Michelle.
I'm Kevin.
And we're just talking to you about the fact that we're looking to do a little bit of fundraising. We're looking to establish our own studio, a podcast studio, and we need the equipment to do that and take these testimonies and record them all across the country.
Absolutely.
So Kevin, what are we trying to do?
Big goal. We're trying to raise $20,000 by December 31st. And of 2016. And so we would love to have you donate. It's a little bit of a faith step on our part, but we'd love you to help out spread this ministry across the country.
That's right. So if you would, please go to hisstoriespodcast.com and look for the donate link and see how you can give toward this goal. We don't
Absolutely.
Believe there's anything too hard for God, and we don't think you think that either.
Absolutely.
So please go to that website and give. We'd like to be able to set the studio up by the end of the year, and we'd love mm-hmm. for your help in doing so.
What was the broadcast again?
HisStoryPodcast.com.
Yeah.
All right. And we are back with Amish Dennis. Dennis Miller from Middlebury, a.k.a.
I hope you don't mind that.
Yeah, I know.
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay. Yeah. Dennis Miller is here and sharing his testimony coming out of or growing up within the Amish community. And so we're picking up the story and his journey from about 7 years ago. We started to face some frustration. So what's happened from that 7 years ago until now?
Well, one thing in particular that happened that's noteworthy is we went to Florida actually a little over seven years ago. It would have been this coming winter, so it would be 8 years ago in February.
Mm-hmm.
But we went to Florida on vacation
mm-hmm.
and had planned on going to the Amish church in Florida and spending time there. We would typically do. But something happened. I forgot my hat. I forgot to pack my hat. And a hat is part of the attire to go to church.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And so because I forgot my hat, we went to ended up God's hand was in this. We you have to remember, Amish church service starts at 9 o'clock sharp. So we're up at 8, 8:30, we're driving around. This is Lamar again, my wife's brother, mm-hmm. Driving us around looking for a church to go to in Sarasota, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we get to this one church, nobody's there, the parking lot's empty. You know, most of these churches start at 10:30, the service or whatever. And so we kept driving. Finally, I was like, Lord, I know you're going to lead us to the right church. Mm-hmm. And I just pushed the GPS. We had loaded the different churches, put mm-hmm. in church on GPS, pushed a church, and it took us, would you believe it, Gil? It took us to a small Pentecostal church in Sarasota, Florida.
Huh.
Pastor Dell, bless his heart. Mm. Amazing experience. I think I'd been to a couple Mennonite churches maybe mm-hmm. in my experience, but I had never experienced Pentecostal churches.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So what transpired there?
Like, now you can get it on.
Now I'm into it. Now yeah. I'm warming up to Oregon right now. Now he's gonna preach.
It was beyond. I mean, we couldn't have planned this. You know,
right.
This is just God's hand was in this. But mm-hmm. the main thing that happened that day was, you remember, I was very involved with real estate at the time, and God really took my heart away from pursuing real estate as a means to find my identity into Him.
Mm-hmm.
The message that day was on you cannot serve God and mammon.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was a message I needed at the time. Well, they had an altar call. I didn't know what an altar call was, but
sure.
I was there. The mm-hmm. next thing I knew, I'm up there, mm-hmm. and he's praying for me, and he's praying mm-hmm. in this funny language.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is.
What is that?
I just know. I feel something. Mm-hmm. I was just a weeping mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it really shifted our lives. From that point forward, Kevin, from that point forward, When we came back home, my hunger for the Word just kept increasing and increasing and
mm-hmm.
increasing.
Yeah.
And because I was my own, I had my own business, I would start cutting the time short. And we were in South Bend a lot, mm-hmm. working on houses and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, man, you know, I'm going to cut. We're going to start. We're going to quit at 2:00.
Mm-hmm.
But normally, I would just I'd be a workaholic. We'd work till it got dark or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I'd get home at 2:00, and I wanted to get in the Word. I started mm-hmm. to get in the Word, and that is the path.
Wow.
That God had me on
wow.
was simply getting into His Word.
Yeah.
And I remember getting home and like on a work day and reading the Bible for maybe an hour or two. And
nice.
God was slowly but surely transforming my heart
mm.
into the power of God's Word. You know, mm-hmm. faith comes by hearing,
yeah,
and hearing
absolutely.
By the Word.
Right.
He was
yeah.
increasing my faith and preparing me for something that I never would have thought.
Mm.
But I want to just share this real quick. It reminds me of South Bend. But I remember the day that I got a revelation in my spirit
mm.
about the assurance of salvation.
Yeah. Mm.
And I was out here at the Staples parking lot.
Really?
Just mm-hmm. down the road here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was in that parking lot, and mm. I was just, God hit me
mm.
with his, it was just a God moment. And you know mm. that you know that
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
And it was literally the colors of everything around me just got brighter by mm. 10. It was mm. like, I looked at the sky. And I was like, I've never seen this color of blue before.
Mm. Mm.
And it was a profound experience for me. I was alone, and I just started to weep.
Mm.
And this is something that we can tie in maybe, but I remember I had my brother with me. He was helping me on these houses. We were out there and working on houses or preparing to. And I remember thinking, I can't share this with my brother because he won't understand.
Mm. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But God was taking me to a place where he was getting my understanding that it's about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about denominations. It's about
yes.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what he was preparing me for.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
So,
that is so powerful. So now, yeah. in the 3 minutes we have left, what has happened since then?
Okay.
Because now it starts to accelerate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, God poured out on me in ways I never would have thought. But he continued to take us. We experience more of God. And you know, one thing about God, if you hunger and thirst for Him, mm-hmm. He will give it to you.
Yeah,
and it was through that mm-hmm. time where I was led to call Kyle from Time to Revive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Of course, had no idea. You know, they show up with these camcorders and all this technology.
Right. Going,
what is this? I didn't know this was part of Revival.
Right.
God was preparing our hearts to do whatever He called us to do.
Mm.
And so he was able to use Revive Indiana and Kyle that came in. And, of course, we had the seven-day or the one-week prayer meeting that went to the 52 days. Mm-hmm. And pulled in you guys from South Bend. Yeah. And so many wonderful people, many mm-hmm. pastors. And, of course, they're traveling throughout the state now.
Yeah.
Still. And yeah. the national team, I believe, is finishing up Ohio, getting ready to do Revive Texas.
That's yes. right. Yeah.
And so, well, in the interim, you know, the Amish church ultimately couldn't accept mm-hmm. our walk in with Time to Revive. And so ultimately they asked us to either recant or walk away from Revive or, you know, mm-hmm. quote unquote, be Amish. Well, God had showed me at the time that, I mean, there was really no choice. God had taken us on this journey. I was
going to
turn my back at that point. Yeah. But the reason people still call me Amish Dennis is because I just feel God has showed us that, you know, so many people, when they leave the old order Amish, they just sort of throw everything away.
Right.
Yeah. I think God loves the cultures of the different people.
Sure.
For the whole world. And there's no reason to throw every part of the culture away.
Right.
Yeah.
Just because you've been shunned. And when people ask me, well, are you Amish? Mm-hmm. I usually answer that with another question. I say, well, was Paul still a Jew when he was rejected by the Jews?
That's good.
So that's how I answer that.
Good. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what Dennis is not telling you, the part he called, you're the one who initially contacted Kyle.
Right.
They came 52 days of revival and literally changing the whole scape of the city of Elkhart, Goshen mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. And
much of the state.
And much of the state.
And there's so many people who now know the Lord mm-hmm. as a result of that.
Of that call.
Right.
And so Dennis is not going to tell you all that he did, but we don't want to put undue glory anywhere.
Right, right.
No, but it's all Jesus. But it comes through willing vessels saying, hey, will you come? Mm-hmm. And as a result of that call, the state of Indiana has been tremendously affected mm-hmm. with the gospel. Mm-hmm. Dennis, could you do this? Could you maybe pray us out?
Sure.
If that's okay. And just pray a blessing on those who maybe find themselves in a church, could be in a denomination, that they feel somewhat limited and frustrated. Mm-hmm. You were kind of in that spot, mm-hmm. But because of your hunger, the whole state of Indiana has been affected, mm-hmm. and dare I say, the country. Because Time to Revive was in other cities and everything else, mm-hmm. but what happened here was unprecedented.
Yeah.
I'd be glad.
So I think God can use people's frustrations and their confusion to lead them to a place of hunger. Mm-hmm. So if you wouldn't mind praying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for my dear brothers, Kevin and Gil, and getting to know them. Father, what a privilege. But Father, I pray for the people out there or the person that is searching, Lord. Mm-hmm. And Father, I pray that the same hunger you gave me, you would give them, Lord.
Yeah.
And Father, if they need to be taken to a place of brokenness, Father, you show them the true freedom, the true freedom in surrendering completely and wholly to you, Lord. I pray against the denominational walls that are becoming that people make more important than Jesus, Lord. I just pray that the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of Christ would shine through in their hearts, Lord. And Father, we need the different churches to come together. We need that unity. We need the ability to come together in the different experiences and streams in Christianity, Lord. Mm. But Father, that you would do a mighty work in this day, that you would do a work that only you can do, Lord. Mm-hmm. We need revival to continue, not only in this community, but in Indiana and the whole nation. Mm-hmm. So, Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at HisStoriesBroadcast.com. That's HisStoriesBroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.